On a Monday, it is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now we head to the DMV as the pandemic enters year three. The Division of Motor Vehicles has transitioned a range of its services to be handled online, announcing in recent days that more than 200,000 drivers had renewed their license through the online renewal option. That was a pilot program started back in spring 2020. How have your experiences been at the DMV? Do you normally get quick service or have you ended up waiting? What changes would you like to see at your local DMV? 800-642-1234. Christina Boardman is administrator for the State Division of Motor Vehicles. Christina, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Let's start with your January report on service outcomes. You found that you had around 92% of DMV customers who were helped within 20 minutes of their arrival. How is the DMV reducing wait times?
Well, I will admit that during COVID, we have reduced the number of customers coming into our offices. And some of that is customer's choice. We did remove our vehicle transactions from in-person office visits because you can do those online, you can do them through the mail or through a third party. So immediately in March of 2020, we did try to reduce the number of people coming into our office. Many things have changed over the last 2 years. We're open to all customers now, but we do feel that our customers over the last couple of years have learned, you know, all of the services that are available online. And we have definitely done a lot of work to enhance what we are providing online to give a range of options for our customers.
But with that said, call volumes have increased. What is the DMV doing to handle the shift to online requests for services and to those call volumes?
Call volumes have increased, as have emails. And so we have done some shifting and we've done some cross-training throughout the state. So while we may not have as many customers coming into our offices, we still have staff there. And so we have staff throughout the state that are helping in answering those calls, answering those emails. So we've really increased the number of people that are responding to those calls now. Right now, we have an average wait time on the phone of about 2.5 minutes. It's definitely gotten better over the last couple years. And those emails are being answered for sure in 24 hours or less.
What about takeaways for other agencies? I mean, we've seen DWD, Workforce Development, struggled hugely to process unemployment claims. DSPS, the Safety and Professional Services Department, working through a licensing and credentialing backlog. What can other agencies put into practice with what you've done?
We have learned a lot from our customers over the last 2 years. When we immediately transitioned where we were doing more through the mail and more online or more on the phone, you know, as we were seeing more and more applications come in through the mail, we were saying, you know what, our customers are making a lot of errors on these, which is really just lengthening the transaction because we need to go back to the customer for the correct fee or for the correct documents. And so we took a step back and said, you know, if this is a common theme that, you know, customers are having trouble with this particular application, what can we do to make it better? And so we quickly got some IT resources together and we call it a smart MV1. It's basically a TurboTax approach to the vehicle form. It, you know, was a 4-page form, very small font, lots of questions because it was sort of a one size fits all, no matter what type of vehicle transaction you were doing. So we, with the smart MV1 application that's online, it asks you questions one at a time. What do you need to do? And then at the end of that, asking you those questions, you do end up with a fully completed form, which you can then print out. It has the fees all calculated accurately for you, and it tells you exactly what you need to put in the mail. So that has been very helpful. We've also expanded what we're doing with our e-titling. So we had some transactions that you could take care of online through if you privately bought a vehicle, but it was only if you bought a vehicle with a Wisconsin title. We did expand that application so that if you did buy a vehicle with an Illinois title or a Minnesota title, which we saw a lot of those, you can now do that transaction online as well. So it's really collaborative effort in listening to our customers, figuring out what they needed right then, and getting with our IT resources to quickly put something online that would better meet their needs.
Talking with Christina Boardman, administrator of the Wisconsin Division of Motor Vehicles. You can join in. What questions do you have about the DMV and your experiences using the DMV? 800-642-1234. Andrea is joining us from La Crosse with a question. Andrea, hi.
Hi. My daughter is 19 now. When she went to do her driver's license and learner's permit the first time, she was asked to pick one for race, and she is biracial, and she has never had to pick one on a form before in her life, and she was rather upset about that. And when would this change?
Andrea, thank you. Christina, insights.
Thank you for that question. It's a great question. We have definitely changed that. The form, by statute, we do need to ask for race. So there is a blank on the form. You do not need to pick a particular choice. You can write down whatever you're most comfortable with, and we will accept that. So we have heard from customers that change went into effect a few years ago. If you were asked that most recently, then I'd want to know about that. But we do want to make sure that customers write down whatever they're comfortable with. You do not need to fit into a particular box.
Andrea, thank you for that question. Talking about teen licensing, as Andrea brought up, from spring 2020, you had this pilot program to no longer require teens to pass a road test for their driver's licenses. And so first, the numbers, how many road test waivers have you issued since spring 2020?
Nearly 80,000. So this is a pilot program that's available to 16 and 17-year-olds. Because they are required to have driver's ed. They are also required to have a certain number of hours driving with their parents. Currently, that's 50 hours driving with a parent they have behind the wheel. And so we allow parents, if they are comfortable with that, to go online and waive the road test at the DMV for their child. So we've seen about 80,000 parents make that choice. That is about 88% of the eligible persons. The good news in all of this, number one, it is very convenient, but we've been keeping a very close eye on the numbers from a safety perspective, and we are not seeing a negative safety result as because of taking this waiver. In fact, we are seeing those that have the waiver, they're getting in a crash 3.2% of the time afterwards, while those that are taking the test are at 3.9. So we were definitely keeping an eye on that, and I'm very happy to report that there are no negative safety impacts of taking that.
So what you're saying is you crunch the numbers looking at the crash rate post-license, the conviction rate post-license through the waiver program, and there the difference then with the rate for the in-person test, and you found that you're seeing better rates through this waiver system.
Yeah, we think we're putting a lot of emphasis on the training. We're putting a lot of emphasis with the parents and that time that they're spent behind the wheel. And we feel that parents are making very responsible choices, and it's coming through in those rates post-licensure. So again, we're looking at just people that are eligible, and we know that they've had driver's ed. Of the 80, there's 88% that have waived the skills test. Their crash rate post-licensure is about 3.2%. Obviously, mm-hmm. we want it to be zero. But those that have taken the road test with us, and there may be a variety of reasons the parent or sponsor made that choice, their crash rate post-licensure is 3.9%.
Okay, so the road test waiver still in effect. The legislature didn't make it permanent, nor did it set it to sunset. What is its future?
Well, that's correct. The legislature did not want to make this permanent via the last biennial budget. So it will end. We have the authority in statute. I suspect it will most likely end this year. But we always tell our new drivers, you need to be ready to take the test no matter what. But yes, it will be ending, and we will be reporting on all of the safety data to the legislature.
So if the results are positive, why not continue to waive the road test for new young drivers?
Well, the authority that's given to us in statute definitely sets it up as a pilot with a control group. And so we want to, you know, we want to get a lot of data from this. Mm-hmm. Many states are already doing something like this. It's ultimately up to the legislature if they want to make it a permanent program, but we want to make sure that they have all the information to make that informed choice.
Are there other programs that were pilots or new or expanded over these past 2 years that you see continuing that won't return, you know, once the pandemic fades away?
Well, we do have one other pilot program. It allows people with a driver's license, if they're under the age of 65, they can renew that driver's license online once every other time. That means that you would, instead of needing to go to the DMV every 8 years, you can wait until 16 years. We have had a number of people that have taken advantage of that over the last 2 years, about 200,000. I think you mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. We hit that milestone. Again, no safety impacts. This is only eligible to people that have not had changes in medical history or vision history. But that's been a great program for us. Again, this is currently available in a number of states. And this is another program where we're collecting that data. Virtually zero difference between those that renew online and those that renew in person. And we will be delivering that data to the legislature. And hopefully that too could be considered for a permanent program. It was not included in this last budget, but we'll continue to bring that forward. I think we are hoping that through the pandemic, because we've put these new transactions online, whether it's, you know, titling forms or titling guides to help people. Mm-hmm. We have a new phone system that we've put in place where we're collecting more data. We hope that we've really trained a generation of people that instead of when they need to do some sort of DMV business, they'll quickly go to the website to see what, you know, those options are rather than thinking that they need to go to their local office.
DMV Administrator Christina Boardman fielding questions about how services are being handled entering year 3 of the pandemic. Lessons learned so far. You can join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Christina Boardman here on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with DMV Administrator Christina Boardman about services. According to the DMV site, about 750 DMV staffers work at more than 90 locations around the state, handling more than 2 million transactions at these sites while fielding over 1.5 million phone calls and emails each year. How has your experience been at the DMV? 800-642-1234. Christina Boardman with us for about 9 more minutes. Christina, I just rattled off a bunch of numbers for how many people work for the DMV at its sites around the state. We've had such a workforce shortage in many industries. Have you struggled to fill positions or struggled with attrition?
Absolutely. We have struggled just like, you know, many other industries. You know, we try to let people know all of the benefits of state employment, you know, making a difference every day to customers in Wisconsin. But yes, we have had some challenges, especially in the more urban areas where we're competing with a greater number of industries.
So when you say in urban areas where you're competing with a greater number of industries, are you talking about the salary and wages there trying to compete?
Yes. In Dane County, specifically in Milwaukee County, I think people just have more options. And yes, we've seen a number of, especially customer service jobs, really up what they're paying on a regular basis. And so we are having that challenge. But we really try to highlight the great benefits that you can have with the state. Some of our jobs have flexibility in teleworking, and so we do try to talk about those benefits. But at our service center statewide, we're generally doing a good job. You know, we've had some pockets, but we've also had a reduction in customer volume, so we've been able to manage it so far.
Saul from Stevens Point called, couldn't stay with us, and Saul is wondering why the DMV charges for online licensing and renewal when Saul says they think it costs the DMV less money to do these transactions online.
Great. Thanks for that question. Yes, there is a fee online if you are using a credit card. If you choose to use ACH, which is, you know, including your bank routing number, that service is free. And so we want to make sure that that is available. But if you are using a credit card, there are fees that the the DMV incurs that we need to pass along. And so there is a minor fee. I think it's about 1.7% of the transaction, maybe closer to 2%, I'm not sure. But yes, that minor fee is available if you are using a credit card.
Let's talk about CDLs. Back in January, the DMV put a temporary waiver in place to help get more school bus drivers in service, and the waiver lasts until the end of this month. Has that done anything to help get more school bus drivers on the road? What are you seeing there?
Well, the waiver that we have in place right now for school bus drivers is when they go to take their road test, the previous test had kind of this under the hood component where you needed to identify a number of mechanical features of the bus. We found that that just is not a normal part of being a school bus driver. You're just not, you usually are working for a company that may have other people that are handling the mechanical issues. And so it's not a concern on a daily basis. And so the federal government did allow states to make the choice if they wanted to waive some of those under the hood identification components of that road test. And so we have done that. We've seen a number of people take advantage of that. All of the rules for licensing are driven by the federal government. So we need to align with that. But anything that the federal government has done throughout COVID in terms of waivers or extensions or flexibility in Wisconsin, we have taken advantage of all of that to help keep our truckers on the road and hopefully help attract additional school bus drivers.
So speaking of that, the federal government and other commercial driver license developments, there's a rule change at the federal level. Some CDL applicants must meet new training standards due to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration rule change. What does this mean for entry-level CDL drivers in Wisconsin?
That means if you are coming into the DMV, you're taking your knowledge test to get your instruction permit. And this went into effect in early February. So anyone that was getting an instruction permit after that needs to take driver training with an approved driver training instructor for CDL. We have all that information online. Many, customers were already taking driver training. The driver training schools do need to make sure that they're on file with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Alliance, FMCSA, that their programs are meeting those requirements. But yes, if you are getting your instruction permit after the date in early February, you are required to take driver training, and those results of that training will stay with your record so that we know that you completed that prior to getting fully licensed.
Christina Boardman with us, Wisconsin DMV Administrator, tackling your questions, 800-642-1234. Mike is with us from Middleton. Mike, hi, what's on your mind? What's your question?
Well, I recently had to renew my license, and I passed the written test, and it took a month before I could do the driver's test. And the guy I had instructor was, I was coming down a residential neighborhood, and I could see like 150 feet ahead of me. It wasn't a hill, but it was a low grade. And I'm 25 miles an hour, and I went through the intersection. There was no stop signs, unmarked intersection. And he wrote me up for that. He failed me for a blind spot and for not slowing down and looking both ways at an unmarked intersection. So I went, had to go another month, and then I had a gal as an instructor, and we went through, and it was the same exact roads. Everything was the same. So I slowed down and looked both ways at the same intersection, and she wrote me up for slowing down at an unmarked intersection, unnecessarily slowing down at an intersection. So I'm just curious, who do you go by on something like that? Because I got both receipts from one that failed me and one that passed me.
Mike, thank you for bringing this up. Christina, go ahead.
Yeah, obviously consistency is a real issue. I wasn't sitting in the car with you, but I do know that there are some topics that can be confusing during that road test. And so we always guide people that are taking that road test to really, over exaggerate their movements, whether it's a blind spot check. Those unmarked intersections, yes, you need to be showing caution. I can't speak specifically what happened in your situation, but I appreciate you bringing up the concern of consistency. We are regularly doing retraining. We're looking at the pass-fail rates of our examiners, and we're stepping in to make sure sure that, you know, on those routes we are being as consistent as possible on those tests.
Governor Evers recently signed into law bills that affect car owners. One would require people to buy replacement plates more frequently every 10 years. Another new law requires the mileage of a vehicle less than 20 years old be disclosed before its new owner can get the title. Can you explain why are these laws needed?
Sure. I will start with the odometer one. That was a federal rule change, and we needed to make sure that our state laws kept up with that. But prior to that change, you did not need to disclose the mileage on your vehicle when there was a title transfer if it was more than 10 years old. And I think that was probably fine a long time ago, but we know that cars are lasting much longer than 10 years. And so this federal rule and the accompanying state law just make sure that you are disclosing that mileage if it is 20 years or newer. So it just gets more data, make sure that odometer information is traveling with that car. You know, we've had concerns with odometer fraud in the past, and so this will help address that concern.
And what about the new license plates? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the second issue is the bill, the act that was just signed will require the DMV that if a license plate out there is more than 10 years old, we will automatically replace that at that next year's registration renewal. People may see out on the roads, there are a lot of license plates that are not in good shape. The owner of the vehicle does have the responsibility to make sure that their license is legible, and there's an easy online form to do that, to replace your plates. And it was currently $2 a plate, so it's very inexpensive. But, you know, we know customers weren't necessarily doing this. So this will require the process, puts the onus on the DMV that at the 10-year mark, we will replace those plates and will include the minor fee for those plates. It also puts some increased standards on the plate in terms of reflectivity, et cetera.
Christina, thank you for joining us.
Great. Have a good week, everyone.
You too. Christina Boardman, Administrator for the State Division of Motor Vehicles. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.